We're going to be hearing from Todd, his message into the round table yesterday. So Todd's brain goes at 120 mile an hour. He's just an incredible thinker. But he also loves the Lord, loves the Holy Ghost. So let's bring him up.
Hey everyone, how you going? We had a communication with Wes and Janet recently and they said, if you get anything for New Zealand. So I felt incredible pressure, but I just went before the Lord. And so anyway, look, we were in the sanctuary of our church before and we're on our intern day and I started asking the Lord, what do you want to say? And then we've got a pretty open heaven here. And I was just, Lord, specifically, what do you want? Because we'd just come out of lectures and impartation and mentoring, and then you just had to just chill. And all of a sudden, I saw so clearly, once I had chilled and said, Holy Spirit, what do you want to say? I started to see, I saw darkness, but then I saw a light start to shine, but it happened really, really quickly. And I'm like, oh, okay. So is that what you want me to say? And I'm start leaning into it. I said, Lord, what does that look? What does it mean? How can I ground that out or articulate it? And the Lord spoke to me, said, I want you to prophesy to them about the morning star. So I just want to just give a bit of a background. Obviously, we know Isaiah 16 talking about great light and great darkness. But what happens in Australia, there seems to be, and I know there's usually quite strong parallels, there is a feeling of people waiting to see the bandwagon is doing, what are other people doing, no one wants to step out. And there's almost like a fear-based non-committal reality. And what happens, it actually says in John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, it says, and this is the NIV, don't usually use that, but it just breaks it down a bit easier. It says, in Jesus was life, and that life was the light of men or mankind. So the Lord manifests in this earth through the light of mankind. And it says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And so what we have is darkness can only exist where there's no light. And so when people go, oh, I'm just afraid of losing people in my ministry and offending people and all this sort of stuff, and then we want to stay under the radar, that's not what God says. He says, you've got to let your light shine. You're a city on a hill. And it seems counterintuitive because there's so many things. You've got like mass databases being set up. You've got government surveillance. You've got the passive aggressive, double talk, Trojan horse, all these sort of things. The narrative doesn't meet what's actually happening. Things are being engineered and so on and so forth. But the Lord said they have to really go after letting their light shine. And so only darkness can, see, it seems counterintuitive. Darkness isn't a creative entity. It's in the absence. It's in the absence of light. And you'll notice that the whole world had to go into lockdown and shutdown for a couple of months at the beginning of 2020. The tabernacle of David had to get shut down. It had to shut down corporate worship for darkness to make an encroachment. And people go, oh, it's a bit of a rest. No. The tabernacle of David had to get shut down so corporately that light couldn't shine. And then everything went crazy. Now, I'm going to read the passage of scripture the Lord gave me. And what's amazing is you actually hear the instruction, what took place on the Mount of Transfiguration. So Peter says, for we did not follow cunningly, 2 Peter 1, verses 16 to 19. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. For we were eyewitnesses of majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And we heard his voice, which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. So he's giving you insight into the Mount of Transfiguration. They were in a heavenly dimension, whether there was sapphire pavement, we don't know. But we know that Jesus shone and the cloud overshadowed, the glory cloud. And then so we have also there would be a spirit of counsel there. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you would do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place. That's what I saw. I saw a light shining in a dark place and getting brighter and brighter until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. It's interesting because there's a number of applications to the morning star. Sometimes we're talking it's not a good one. Sometimes it talks about I'll give him the morning star. Jesus is the bright morning star. Lucifer is the light bearer. But what we're talking about in this context, it says, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. When the sun is rising, what happens is that morning star, that star is there in the sky. And what happens is it's quite dark, but you see one star. But that star, when that star, it's a symbol that the morning is about to dawn. The morning is about to dawn. And so what happens is that I feel with what God wants to say to New Zealand is this. It seems like it's dark, but you've got to hold that morning star because it says the morning star rises in your hearts. And what happens as we engage the glory, as we engage the Lord, then what happens is that overflow principle. And I believe is that there will be no day dawning. There will not be any glorious light of reformation and pushing back the powers of darkness unless the morning star first rises in the heart. That's what God wants us to do. And then so rather than getting, oh, we might upset and lose people, and oh, we want to stand on the radar, that's not how light works. It says, you know, we are light, we are salt, we've got to shine, and we don't want salt to lose its saltiness. And what we've done here in Adelaide from day one of the pandemic is basically is that we have shone so brightly, it literally has changed our region. It's reflected in the government. It's reflected in the most relaxed laws in the nation. Definitely, there's something. Darkness is a loser club. It can only function in the absence of light. So I just feel, I just want to encourage, is the morning star is the down payment before the sun rises. But I feel to encourage ourselves in the Lord and say that morning star, pray more, worship, gather together. We actually, there's times they make it illegal, but we, every opportunity, we aggressively worshiped and gathered and decreed and we let the light shine, and it's been amazing. So be encouraged, looking forward to coming back soon. And we're seeing God's doing amazing things here. We've been given land, we're growing food, there's homeschool hubs exploding, there's businesses exploding, people from all over the state are using our premises. We are a city on a hill, and it's been reflected in the freedom that we've seen here. So love you guys, and we just thought we would just speak into your conference.
So some of you may need to listen to over that a couple of times just to get us flow, but he said some wonderful, profound things. So thank you so much, Todd. So Lindley, we're just so grateful that you're able to come. You and Stuart were able to come, but you're on tonight, and we're just open hearts and open spirits to you. We love your spirit, we love your heart, we love your love for the Lord, and we also just grateful of all the experience you've gained in the move of the Holy Spirit and the things of administering the kingdom. So we just want to welcome you so much tonight. Thank you for coming. Thank you for delivering what you're going to carry tonight. What you do carry, and we just want to welcome you. Stand up and give her a great God bless.
Thank you. Just stay standing. Just stay standing for a minute. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. We love you. We love you. Lord, I ask that your glory would just fill this room. Lord, I ask that you would pour out your nature and your goodness in this amazing gathering. God, we are hungry and we are thirsty for the reality of your presence. We want to eat. We want to drink. We want to absorb and receive your goodness tonight. Stu and I have a guiding scripture for our life. It's Habakkuk 2:14. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory, that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. That New Zealand will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. That New Zealand will, New Zealanders will, the habitants of New Zealand will know and experience the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea around this earth. And Stu and I paraphrase it and go, New Zealand will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, and she will be covered with the glory like the waters cover the sea. God, I ask with all my heart tonight that this room would be filled with your glory. And the water level that is running through this property would start to increase. That would start to deepen with the Spirit of God. Lord, we've been wandering around knee deep, waist deep. Increase, Holy Spirit. Release the river that's coming from the throne of God. Release the river with an intensity that we haven't known before. God, we come, like Isaiah says, come all who are thirsty. I don't know about you, but I think this nation is thirsty. This nation is going through a wilderness time right now, and it's dry and it's parched. But the river of God is always flowing. The glory of God is always moving. And it just takes a moment to tap into that river that is pouring out from the throne of God. And it is coming down to you. It is coming down to us. And it is flowing into the hearts of all people. If we just take a moment to drink of his glory. Ho, ho, ho. So drink. Drink and be satisfied tonight. Drink, drink and be satisfied. Drink, drink deep, deep, deep. Come, all who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy. Eat. Come buy wine, which is the Spirit. Come by milk, which is his nourishing food of the Spirit. You come without money and without cost. Why? Because it's a free gift. It's a free gift. It's a free gift. Freely eat. Of his, the substance of his Spirit, the substance of him. Drink freely of the wine, the honey. Oh, the honey, the sweet, sweet honey. Eat and be satisfied. Drink, drink and be satisfied. Whoa, we just tarry and wait. I feel this hunger in the room. I feel the parched. It's like your spirit. Some of you are parched, like you haven't had a drink since last night, and you wake up and you're parched in your mouth. I just sense where many of us are parched because we've been so busy praying and contending. Hope, contending for this nation and for the people. And the Lord is saying tonight, come aside and receive. Come aside and drink. Drink, John 14, whoever drinks of me, ho, will never thirst. And sometimes we just need to stop and drink. and drink. I want you to, you know, you're like, well, heck, I don't know how to drink. How do you drink the Spirit? Well, it's like if you can imagine a big, you know, glass of wine and, or grape juice if you want it to be that, and you intentionally pick it up and you intentionally ingest and receive that substance. It's like that. It's like, Holy Spirit, I just drink of you. I breathe you in the breath of life, the breath of life that brings new life. So Holy Spirit, I ask that you would come and just breathe upon us. Put your breath, you put your Spirit again in us. Breathe on us, God. Breathe fresh life. And I just see little things sprouting inside of you. Breathe, God, new life, new life. Let's face it, the last couple of years has cost us a lot, a lot. And a lot has changed, a lot has died, a lot has fallen away. We've had to let go and let go and let go again. But the Lord's reward is always the banqueting table. He has laid out a banqueting table. And I think tonight we're just going to get off the doing. And I just want us to receive. Drink. I'm going to tarry. We're going to go around again. Holy Spirit, move. Move. Fill. Fill. Holy Spirit, fill. Just rejuvenate with your living water. You know, when the desert has its dry season, and then the rains come and the rains fall upon the desert. This is a metaphor of what happens when we've gone through that time of like, man, it's really hot and I am scorched. And then the rain of heaven, which is metaphor of the Spirit rain, falling down upon our parched land. And just in the natural, it is in the Spirit. When the water comes and you just start to drink of that, then all the seeds that have been buried underground, they receive this life-giving substance and they start to sprout. And then there's new life, and new life just erupts in the desert or in the wilderness or in the dry lands. That's what it's like with our hearts. So tonight I declare in Jesus' mighty name, the rain of heaven coming down upon our lives, the rain of heaven coming down upon our families, the rain of heaven coming down upon our finances, the rain of heaven coming down upon the sick amongst us, the rain of heaven coming down upon the parched land of our hearts, the rain of heaven coming down upon our minds that need refreshing and transformation. Oh, wow. The rain of heaven coming down afresh upon our churches. Lord, every church that is represented here, I ask right now, I just see angels being released. Angels being released to churches that the leaders are standing in this room. And the Lord says to you, expect a breakthrough tomorrow. Expect something to shift in some way. I just believe that you are getting now an assigned, it's almost like an assigned angelic guard or something that is going to have an effect in the Spirit and in the natural tomorrow. So Lord, we just want to agree with that right now. We say yes and amen. And if you're a leader of a church, I want you to say, come on, boys, let's come with me. And you just receive the angelic guard that has been assigned to you right now. And I declare a shift and a breakthrough of some kind, whatever God has for you and your church. I ask, Lord, that an anointing would fall. An anointing would fall in those services. An anointing would fall. Lives would be changed. That situations would shift. That the impossible would be made possible in Jesus' name. Ho, 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 ho. Thank you, Lord. Shiyamaya. Oh, yamasa. Now, I always believe in body ministry. So can you please lay your sanitized hand upon somebody around you and say, come, Holy Spirit, fill them up, God. Fill her up. Touch, refresh, rejuvenate. Touch, refresh, rejuvenate, touch, refresh, oh, rejuvenate, yes, new life, new life, new life, new vigor, new vigor, oh, new vigor. Shaya moya, siya moya, sikia ya moya, siya la da shunka ya masi, haya moya, sikia la nama. New life, breakthrough of some kind, ho, in Jesus' name. Yes, answered prayers, ho, ho, woo, yeah, amen, ho, ho. Now you do not have to behave when I'm on the platform. So you can carry on just soaking, you can carry on blessing, you can, or just sit and listen to me. Look, you know, our years of being in Toronto, sometimes when we were preaching, I could hardly hear myself preaching because the roar of the Spirit was running through the crowd. We're used to disruption. I don't actually care. The only thing I care about is that you encounter God. That you encounter God in some way, shape or form in the time that I'm on guard. Okay, I'm just going to run through some prophetic words that that I've got here for the nation, but it's also really for the times and the seasons as well. And the first one is on December 27 at 7 a.m. I woke up last Christmas and I heard the audible voice of the Lord, and he said, behold. Sorry. Okay, he said, behold. I'm doing a new thing. Oh my goodness. I'm trying to be serious. He said, behold, I'm doing a new thing. Lying on my pillow, you know. And then the voice of unbelief rises in me, and I say out of my mouth, well, in my heart, my mouth, yeah, well, you've been saying that for quite a while now. So let me ask you a question, Lord. You're saying this to me audibly. I'm taking notice, but what is different about now? And so I got up and started looking at the scripture, and of course, behold means see. And he said, behold, in other words, see, I'm doing a new thing. Ah. Oh. And then he began to unpack with me. He said, you have known I'm going to do a new thing. You have known about the idea. You have heard the promise. You have believed the promise. But now you will see the promise. And so I want to just encourage us all to stir our faith again. Don't be like Lindley and go, yeah, I've heard that before. But there was something about, behold, I am doing a new thing. See, I'm doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it? In other words, we have to be looking now. We have to be taking notice now. We have to be observing in closer examination. And shed our doubt and our eye roll because we've heard it before. We have to stir up the belief in the prophetic word again. And I believe that tonight there's some people that have had promises and prophetic words given to you multiple times. And every time, if you get another one, you just do the heart eye roll because you're like, well, Lord, you keep telling me this, but I'm really tired of hearing you say it, but not seeing you do it. And I want to encourage you tonight, stir up your faith and stir up your trust and in him and begin to have an opportunity. You've got an opportunity to start looking for it looking for it, looking for the new thing. And the thing is that it's probably not what we're expecting to see, so it's not going to be obvious to see. Unless, of course, God just moves sovereignly and drops his glory in a way that is really, you know, obvious that he's doing something new. I think that there's going to be a searching out for it. That's just what I think. Okay, so another thing is we're in a metamorphosis process. We are in a metamorphosis process. And what I love about the metaphor of the caterpillar going into the chrysalis, then coming out a butterfly, is the stage of a caterpillar is its only job as a caterpillar is to eat and consume. Eat, consume, and get really fat and really big as it can, before it moves into that chrysalis stage. And the reason why it is designed by God to eat and get fat and consume is because it needs all of that when it goes into the hiding place. And it needs all the nutrients of its first shape in order to survive the chrysalis. And then when the butterfly emerges, its primary job is to multiply. So bear with. This is what the Lord's been talking to me about. We have gone through an incredible time of consumption. We have had teaching at our fingertips. We have had training at our fingertips. We have had incredible times of preaching. We most of us sit under anointed preachers like these guys, where they're revelatory and they have fed us. And they have fed us, and they have fed us, and we've got bigger and bigger and bigger. And now we're in a time of confinement. And we're like, I want to go to church, because I need to get fed. Yeah. Try again. We all are in this time of discovering what God has actually put in us. And when we emerge, our primary goal is multiply. We need to multiply where the gospel goes. We need to multiply our anointing. We need to multiply the gifts and the impartation that we've been given. We need to multiply and be fruitful with what we have had. I believe that it's time of metamorphosis, where we're going from one shape to another. And I really feel that the reformation of the church, which is what I'm talking about, the reformation is really, it's going to take about 10 years to move the ship. It's not an overnight. We're not going to come out of COVID and go, oh, we're a new shape. The work of perseverance that the Holy Spirit is doing in us is reshaping our minds. It is reforming our minds. It is reforming our understanding. And as we go through this decade, we're going to emerge as a new shape for the great harvest. Now, that's just how I see it. That's where I feel like the Lord is leading us. And I want to say it like that because I really don't want us to be disillusioned when the mandates lift and life returns to normal. I'm here to declare today to have a 10-year mindset and perspective on what God is doing. And I've got some friends that have prophetic friends and seers and dreamers that have confirmed with me that they also believe it's going to be a 10-year reformation, because the shape of the church to deconstruct our mindsets on who we are and to build us into the bride. God is wanting a bride made ready. And he is, and the bride is going to rise, but there's things that just don't add up yet. And so there is a transformation happening of our minds and our hearts and the way that we perceive ourselves mostly and the way we perceive the kingdom. And I'm bluntly aware that I need a massive transformation of my understanding. And I believe I've come a long way, but I'm not seeing the results that I expect to see. So something has to transform, something has to change, and God never changes. So that looks like the arrow is pointing at me. So what is it in our minds? What is it in our understanding? What is it in our theology? What is it in the essence of what we fundamentally believe our role or our identity is that needs to shift? That's a challenge that I'm just going to put out there, and then I'm going to move on. Okay. Are you called to pioneer or are you called to build? Are you called to pioneer or are you called to build? There is a two main areas that the Spirit is working, Spirit of God is working in this time. He is mantling some to be spiritual Nehemiahs and some to be pioneers. And we were going to begin to see two strong mantles really rising in the next couple of years. We're going to see, number one, God is calling some people to be Nehemiahs that will rebuild the gates of the church. We must recognize where the enemy has breached our gates, where has breached the walls of our nation and our ministries and the gates of the church, our churches, and where he's breached the gates of our hearts. And we've been talking a lot about that today. The Spirit of the Lord is saying, I am imparting to my church the strategies to rebuild on the rock of Christ, to repair what was broken and lost, and to renovate what needed changing. Ooh, renovate. Ooh. That's a good thought, isn't it? Renovate. Renovate what needs changing. But first comes the repairing of the gates of our own hearts. Where through adversity in the narrow place that Stu was talking about this afternoon, where have we lost maybe our edge? Where have we lost our mojo? Where have we lost our passion? Where has unbelief kind of sort of snuck in, disillusionment a little bit? All the D words. Refresh, renew, restore. Refresh, renew, restore. Come to the Lord with those things. Take notice where the boundaries of our faith have been assaulted and worn down through the season of war. Jesus is inviting us into a place of restoration, transformation. And once we get those areas of our own lives sorted and healed and transformed, then we have the authority to do it with our churches, our cities, and the nation. Intercession always starts with you. You build your authority when you're healed and restored here. And then when you start praying for your church, then you're coming from a place of purity. And then God expands your territory to intercede for your city. And then he expands your territory and authority to intercede for your nation. But we must repair where maybe there's broken relationships in your family. Maybe there's broken relationships with your workplace or, heaven forbid, your church community. Do we need to go and apologize? Do we need to repent? Do we need to do some work where maybe we've taken out a sword that Wes was talking about and there's sheep's blood on our sword? Have we dishonored someone that has a different opinion? Have we wounded them with our words? Or maybe overreaction to whatever's happening. Repair the gates of your own heart. Okay, number two, secondly, God is mantling the pioneers. I get excited about this because that's who I am. So I get excited because there is a wave of pioneering that is merging. The anointing is going to hit pioneers, and we are going to start to see some new initiatives and some new organizations and some new missions and some new ideas and new ways and new inventions and new technology. Help. And just, you know, there's a lot. I mean, I don't even think we've conceived yet what we're going to see. But there is a forging forward of the pioneers. And those pioneers, if you've probably been incredibly dissatisfied over the last couple of years with what you are living in. You've lost the plot on, things just are boring. They are. It's uncomfortable for you to sit in status quo. It is. You're almost getting kind of like despondent because things haven't changed. That's probably because you are a pioneer at heart, and God has been shaking your pot plant. So if you can imagine, when you want to repot something, you shake forth the pot and you get the roots already loosened, and that's the loosening process. You start to get a bit like frustrated and disheartened. It's not necessarily that there's something wrong with you, it's that God is making your life incredibly uncomfortable because he wants you to move forward with something new. Now, does that? I'm not saying that people are leaving churches and breaking relationship and going on their own and you know, loaning it out there on their own. No, there is something that God has seeded within you, or you might even not realize it yet, but maybe you have and you've sat on your hands for the last few years. But God, there's something that God is birthing with you that he needs you to birth and create and establish and pioneer and forge forward in order for the new, for the many, many people after you that are going to come in, and you are going to establish something for them. And if you don't do your job and pioneer and go with fire and forge the way and cut the ground and break ground in prayer and break ground with your actions, then there are many that can't come and follow you. I want to bless you today to pioneer. Are you still with me? So these ones are called to move ahead of the camp and to seek out new land to possess. Within the strategic season of pioneering, they will leave behind what was. And the thing is that your heart's already disconnected with what was. And that's okay. It's not okay when we disconnect with what was and then we turn and criticize what was. That is not okay. You disconnect with what was for you, and then that is with a healthy perspective and with grace, you move on with honor. Right? But I'm not talking about leaving things. I'm talking about starting things. Okay? I want to sound a warning. We need to watch out for misunderstanding between these two mantles that are rising in our nation. There is going to be people who are fiercely and passionately focused on rebuilding the church. God is going to impress upon them, you know, to be fishers of men and to look after the sheep and love the sheep and regather the sheep. And for them, their whole world and their whole focus and their whole heart is going to be about regathering and nurturing and bringing in and going after the one, leaving the 99 and going after the one. That is going to consume. But that doesn't, but then, and then the others, the pioneers, are consumed fully with breaking ground, breaking new ground, doing things new. If we're not careful, that can be in conflict. And so the warning is we must deeply understand at a deep level what God is doing in this season of history, in this time. What is he doing? And have a deep appreciation for your brothers and sisters, that they might be called to something that's different to you, and that is 100% okay. We can't be going, no, I'm right, because your conviction is so deep that you think you're right. Everybody's right. All right? Everybody's right. Okay. Can I just say a quick thing as well? I just really believe that we need to grieve the losses of war. There is a natural grieving of what has fallen away. There is a natural grieving and a very necessary grieving of the things that you had your hopes set on, but it never eventuated, or it just fell away and just has now not really, doesn't really seem important anymore. You know, we've really had our hearts set on things in the past, and when God prunes the vine, it's not easy, but we've got to appreciate the pain of that and allow the Lord to just heal that and refresh us in order for our garden, the garden of our hearts, to be ready for the new seed. So take time, admit that it hurt, admit that it's actually was something that you highly valued that you have lost, but don't slip into having your faith and trust in God eroded, or decide that you don't like God anymore because that was mean. He's not being mean. He prunes for one and one reason and one reason only. And what is that? Greater fruitfulness. So hallelujah, Lord, you've taken that ministry away from me, or you've pruned that out of my life, and that was really fun for a season, but I'm going to grieve that, and I'm going to open my heart again for something new. Keep your heart sweet. Keep your heart open to the Lord, and he will bring amazing things for you in this next season. I just want to just close. Is it 11:30? One of them says 11:30, the other one says 9. Joy in adversity. I've just had this on my heart. And I just want to close with these thoughts. Throughout Scripture, there's verse after verse after verse around being joyful. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. And, you know, beautiful scriptures around be joyful and praise. And there, joy is a substance that we can receive. But joy is not happiness. And I just felt the Lord wanted me to just do a 5-minute teaching on what the difference between joy and happiness is. Joy and happiness are two different emotions, and they're somewhat similar, but they're actually quite different. Joy is attributed to something that is consistent and internal, while happiness tends to come and go depending on whether you like your latte or you don't, whether or not you liked the movie that you watched last night or you didn't. So happiness is externally triggered in a good way, right? I'm happy about that. That's awesome. I've got friends coming for dinner. I'm really happy about that, right? Joy is down here. For those on the camera, I don't know whether you can see me, but I'm putting my hand on my innermost being, my stomach. Joy is an inner state. It's an inner joy that is attached to, connected to your identity and your purpose. So, when you hear people saying, I've just lost my joy, it's a huge indication that their life and is slipped from their main purpose and call. So in the midst of adversity, which comes and goes, do not be surprised, little one, that you face many trials. How annoying is that verse? Do not be surprised. None of us like trials, but they do come and they will come, and we cannot escape them. But we are able to connect with God, who can bring a deep sense of identity. We have joy in our eternity. We have joy knowing that we are eternally loved. So joy comes from knowing, the study of joy, and you'd research it, knowing that you are deeply loved by God first, but deeply loved by other human beings. And so people who don't experience, or say, I don't experience joy, there's a tension that keeps the love of God out and the love of people. So, joy is from the Lord. The joy of the Lord, He comes and lives inside of us, and when we get saved, all of a sudden we're a lot happier because the person who is life is within us, and He is eternal, so there's an eternal promise. And so joy and hope are intricately linked. So because we have a hope in our salvation and our eternity with Him, living eternity with Him, there's a joy that comes with that, that sits deeper than any happy day or sad day. Would you agree? So to connect with our joy on a daily basis when life is in the middle of a storm, the anchor of joy is understanding what your core purpose is. And when you know what your core purpose is, that somehow brings a joy that is unshakable. Now, when we move away from our core purpose, either because of, I don't know, external circumstances or people pleasing, or, you know, we do take a turn and go in the wrong direction for a season or whatever, you feel that in yourself, there's a constant misalignment on the inside of your spirit. So your heart and your gut, your heart and your mind, if you're not living on core purpose, there's going to be something out of alignment, and you are never really going to feel the fullness of the joy of being, of knowing who you are in God. And so it takes a moment of self-examination. It's like, what is out of alignment here? What am I currently doing or thinking that is not in alignment with God, how God's created me to be? So as we go through these storms that we're currently going through, you know, as a church leader, you see lots of different reactions to adversity. My gold nugget for you today, my pearl, if you will, for you, is to stay connected with the one who deeply loves you with an everlasting love. That you do the face-to-face that we've been talking about today. That you receive those moments of encounter that Stuart talked about. That you position yourself to receive the tangible substance of God's love. You remind yourself that you are royalty. That your identity in Him is secure no matter what storm you're in, right? And you understand what your call and your purpose is on this planet, and you have that as a plumb line that will just be the anchor as you navigate the waves. Let's all stand. Holy Spirit, we want to thank you for today and just the incredible journey that we've gone on with you. We've gone deep, we've gone high, we've gone wide. Wrap your arms around each one right now. Woo! Wrap your arms around each one as they go. And I just want to bless you, your eyes to see him, your ears to hear him, your heart to deeply understand him, to know him. I bless you to know yourself in him. I bless your dreams to be vivid and explicit in the next couple of nights about your purpose, your call for this next era, because some of you have just had a shift in an assignment. You've had a shift in call. What was is gone, and you haven't quite seen what's next. And I bless your heart, mind, and spirit to receive heavenly downloads that will map out for you what he has planned before the foundation of the world for you for this next decade. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being so faithful and true, our anchor, our morning star. May the refreshing of the Holy Spirit and the rejuvenating of his incredible power transform you as you sleep. And as you wake up in the morning, I declare over this group and over the ones in the tent and over the ones in the lounge, it is a new day. Amen.